We made this.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas and goodwill to all people. It is December the 24th, Christmas Eve. I'm Matt Latham and you're listening to a festive edition of Pick a Disc. Today, we're doing something slightly different again. This time I'm not subjecting myself to James Blunt. Today I have a guest who's picked a few different Christmas tracks, put them onto a Spotify playlist and a YouTube video, and we're going to talk about the playlist he's chosen. The guest in particular is Colin from We Dig Music, who's come back to just celebrate Christmas and Christmas music. And we talk a bit about Christmas music, about Christmas songs, the UK obsession with the Christmas number one, and just what makes Christmas music sound like a Christmas song. That's it. If you want to give me a Christmas gift, the best Christmas gift you can do is subscribe to us, follow us, rate us quite highly on iTunes. As I said, as always say, commit opinion fraud and say we're better than we actually are, and you know, just to boost listening figures and stuff. So that's the best Christmas present you can give me. I wonder if Santa's listening. I wonder if all those elves in his shop or workshop or wherever he's up north will all listen and do that. Anywho, it's enough blabbering from me, enough self-promoting from me. Let's talk about Christmas with Colin. Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. Pick a disc will make us jolly, fa la 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 la. Merry Christmas, people. If you're listening to this on the day of release, it's Christmas Eve.
It is.
And tomorrow, Santa will be here. And so the jolly bearded guy will come down the chimney to give us presents. And talking about bearded guys, it's Colin from Weeding Music is opposite me. Again, in my living room, like before, only with an extra Christmas tree illuminating the room.
There is some kind of vegetation which has grown in your living room since I was last here.
Yeah.
It's got lights on it and stuff. Hasn't got a Skeletor on the top, which is different to mine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these things, it's the true meaning of Christmas, obviously, is Skeletor.
Skeletor, no.
Definitely.
Or grumpy Skeletor, if he even be, so.
Yes. Any mood he's in at all, but
Yes. And considering it's Christmas, and you might notice the word Christmas special somewhere in the show notes when I eventually write them down, this is going to be slightly different. So I made the call out for anyone who's interested in doing a talking about anything Christmassy or Christmas-themed album, because I was pretty much fully expecting to take the week off.
Sorry.
Or take the fortnight off. But if anyone had a Christmas, and then Colin goes, oh, I can do a playlist of like Christmas songs if you want to talk about them. And I'm like, okay, not a disc, but it's a... Pick a list.
Burn it onto a CDR if you want.
pick a list.
Yes.
Pick a list.
That'll work. It's like Santa's list.
Yes.
Well, I've made you a playlist and I've checked it twice.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah, find out whether the songs are naughty or nice.
Yes.
And a mixture of both. so we'll go through them, I think, song by song. So it's almost like this month's issue, almost.
There you go. It's like a mashup.
Yes.
It's a Christmas mashup.
Yes, so, but I'm pretty sure that normal service will resume when we come back in 2020. So, with this and the James Blunt experiments of last week. So, yeah, things are morphing and everything in this.
Everything's
one, so.
Going crazy.
Yes, the format's gone completely out of the board. So, this is like throwing all normal formatting out the window. Like, so...
Punk rock, that's what it is.
That's punk, yes, it's punk rock, it's punk podcast.
Yes.
Yes. So this... So we're very much flying from the seat of, from whatever really.
Seat of your chair.
The seat of my chair, yeah. So we're pretty much like making this on the cuff. So like, but in general, when you create the playlist, what was the general theme in creating this? What was the general idea before we got
Christmas, basically.
Yeah.
What I did is I put a list of Christmas songs, what I like, on a playlist. That was pretty much it.
Wow.
It's got... This is 10 of the absolute greatest Christmas songs of all time, but I thought I'd go with the ones that aren't the ones that everybody knows, necessarily. There's a few that are more well-known than others on there, but in general, I mean, in no way am I disrespecting the Mighty Slade. I really dig Christmas. Christmas is bloody ace. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be brilliant. I've got a three-year-old this time, so I didn't have one of them before. I had a two-year-old last year.
Oh, wow.
Might be a four-year-old next year.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works. But yeah, she's really excited about Christmas, so that's helped me be really excited about Christmas. Basically means I've got more Lego to play with. It's brilliant.
Yes. Let Daddy play with the Lego.
Yes. But I've always dug Christmas, and Christmas music's a big part of it. You know, there's a lot of Christmas songs. I mean, a load of my memories are of, like, Christmas shopping. It's an excuse to wander around the big HMV that's been turned into a Primark now in Birmingham City Centre. That was, like, my memories as a kid was as soon as I was old enough to go off on my own a bit, I was in that HMV for 2 or 3 hours, usually with Christmas music on. And yeah, that's a big part of it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a strange, ambivalent relationship with Christmas. Some years I'll get into it. Other years I just like.
You possibly not as grumpy about it as my other two bloody Weirdig Music co-hosts, who are like grumpy Grinch bastards.
I'm not completely a Grinch about it. If anything, I'm a complete utter Scrooge on Halloween. I do not understand Halloween in the slightest.
I like horror films and stuff.
I don't even like horror films. Sorry, Rob. Sorry, Chris. Sorry, Third House of Cinematry, whose name just suddenly escaped me. Dave. I'm not much a horror fan in general, and to be fair, I think Halloween's just got too commercialised.
You just
need to eat sweets. That's about it.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of fancy dress either. No. So I've just never got with it. So
yeah, fair enough.
But Christmas, I mean, I think depending on the year, I think it depends the mood. I mean, or leading up to it anyway. So yeah. But this year, I think Christmas, I'm hosting Christmas for the first time, because it'll be the first time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, it's the first time that I'm living on my own.
Yes.
So so I'm now hosting family, so.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to be quite interesting anyway.
Making a massive turkey.
Yes.
Not making a turkey, that would be weird. Cooking a turkey.
Yes.
To make a turkey, you would need a mummy turkey and a daddy turkey, and that's just going to take too long.
Unless you start in March.
True, yeah. Did you? Because you've left it too late if you didn't.
I knew I forgot to do something.
Right, shit. Never mind. You'll have to just cook one instead.
Yeah, I'll just put it in the microwave. You'll be right.
That'll do.
But Christmas music, it just seems like you've got the whole idea of whether things start earlier and earlier and earlier and everything, and, like, it's, like, the 1st December, and I've come to accept that the 1st December might be the actual start of Christmas, because that is, like, the traditional start of Advent.
I have a hard and fast rule of nothing until the 1st of December, but then full on.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, like, that's when everything starts to get so, like, naturally all the Christmas songs are coming out, and you pretty much it's like anyone who's got a high profile Christmas song, right, is already starting to plan what they're buying in June when they get the royalty check. And
yeah,
I always find it, I mean, like, you always hear them, and you'll even hear the ones that aren't as famous, that are just like, that, like, the music channels used to put on to pad out well and everything. So what makes a good Christmas song, do you think?
I think it's more of a vibe than anything else. It's something that's quite difficult to pin down.
Yeah.
I think when I was going through my list and sort of thinking about it earlier, I think most of the time it's best if they are a standalone single, not just a track that they've put on an album. There's obviously exceptions to the rule, because Fairy Tale in New York is just on a normal Pogues album. But generally, I think it needs to be like a special thing that the band's done for, we're going to do an extra little Christmas single that's just as a single on its own. Obviously, sleigh bells help. Glam rock helps a fucking hell of a lot.
Yeah. And you've also got songs that are associated Christmas but aren't Christmas songs. The two that come to mind are
Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Power of Love by Frankie Goes to Hollywood is not. This one really annoys me, because it was a Christmas number one, and the video is like nativity themed, but the song has nothing to do with Christmas at all. Yeah. So the only reason it was a Christmas number one is because the video is nativity themed and they released it at Christmas.
Yeah, and it was probably released at Christmas. Other one I can think, well, the two I was thinking of was Stay Another Day by 17, yeah. But they added Sleigh Bells.
They re-released it with Sleigh Bells on it.
Yeah, and like with a video on that. And it's only recently that I realised it was about a suicide of a friend of the band, I think.
Yeah.
Which is like, and that's so weird. And then you think about it, you hear the song and it's like, oh, okay, wow. And it's weird because I still really like that song. I do like that song. The second one, and I will state my case on this because guaranteed at some point, and our potential guests have talked about this band being pick disc, To Become One by the Spice Girls.
Right, yeah.
Which I think might have been a Christmas number one.
It was a Christmas number one, but yeah, it's got nothing to do with...
No, but, and to be fair, I'll maintain it's the best Spice Girls track.
Yeah, I think there's a fair case for that, and it always has been.
Yeah, yeah, and I always got time for that, because it was like, I always got time for that as well, and I'll make time for the Spice Girls as well, because I always think they're not that bad. but yeah, To Become One, I think as well, those are the two that jump in my mind. That come out to be Christmas on one. But also, Mr. Blobby.
Yeah, well, there was a while where it was before X Factor started.
Yeah.
It was all novelty singles for a while because I think Bob the Builder was a number one year.
Yeah, and last year's Christmas number one was a charity single.
I don't even remember what it was last year.
It was the We Built This City on Sausage Rolls.
Ah, right, yes.
But it was a charity single for the food banks. I can't remember the name. The guy was. It's a YouTube guy.
I can't.
But...
I used to really pay attention to the Christmas number one. If as I hope, Jarvis Cocker is number one for Christmas this year. If you're listening now and you haven't bought it and it isn't, it's too late. But.
Yeah. Yeah. But, there was also... The Christmas number one, I think, is primarily a UK thing as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Melanthi on the Hit Parade podcast last year did a Christmas special. And being an American journalist, and because he writes for this, why is this song number one for Slate? Is it Slate? Yeah, Slate.
I think so, yeah.
He had a whole episode talking about the phenomenon of UK stuff and he's got this very good obsession with it because I remember him talking about the race for Christmas number one and like pretty much and the history of it and like how kind of X Factor or Britain's it's X Factor isn't it now or something
I don't watch it.
And pretty much dominated the whole thing. It was pop stars at one point because I remember
whatever Simon Cowell's competition you think has been. It's done it for nearly 20 years now.
Yeah.
It was like 2001-ish, I think, the first one was.
That was Evergreen by Will Young.
Might have been.
Was that not Christmas number one?
Could have been. I don't know. No, I don't think it was. Because 2000 through to 2003, I worked in record shops at Christmas. And I don't remember that being the Christmas number one. I know there was, while I was working there, one year we had... cover of Mad World by Gary Jules from Donnie Darko. One year we had, it was Liz Loppy one of the years I was working there.
I'm not sure, the JCB song.
It was either number one at Christmas or the week after or one of them.
Oh, here we go. I've got the list.
Excellent. So was Evergreen Christmas number one year?
No. Yes, I accept cookies, just go away. That would have been 2001, wasn't it?
Maybe. 2002 was Sound of the Underground.
Yep.
Because I was at university then, that was the 6 months I was at uni.
2001 was Something Stupid by Robert Williams and Nicole Kidman.
Yes, I remember that. It was shite.
2000 was Can We Fix It by Bob the Builder. Yeah.
Mr. Blobby would have been 98, possibly 97.
Nope.
Was it earlier than that?
To put it into context, 1996, 97 and 98, all with the Spice Girls.
Spice Girls, right, yeah.
Which was To Become One. For the benefit of the tape, I just did a fist bump.
Yes. Not really audible, that.
Yeah. Too Much was the next year, and Goodbye was the year after. Earth Song by Michael Jackson was 95.
Right, yeah.
Stay Another Day, 94. Mr. Blobby was 93.
Bloody hell, that's longer ago than I thought it was.
I said like Richard Osmond. And if you got that at home, that was a pointless answer. 92 was Whitney Houston. That was when it was on, that was pretty much, I think it
like was number one in like August and just never
it,
left.
Yeah, it nearly broke the record for. It either broke the record and then Bryan Adams beat it afterwards, or it was the other way around.
I think Bryan Adams beat it because that was 93.
93.
I think so. Because yeah. I think then, because Love Is All Around was 93.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was on course with number one. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember rightly, I'm pretty sure that got knocked off by Mr. Blobby. And then the next week.
I think you could be right.
Yeah.
I know Mr. Blobby, there was it was a big chart battle between Mr. Blobby and Babe, I think it was, by Take That. And I've got some friends that worked in a record shop at the time that was a chart return store, and they kept a copy of Mr. Blobby by the counter, and every time they sold a copy of the Take That single, they scanned two of the Mr. Blobby singles. So it may not have sold that many, but it still beat Take That.
Well, I know I had it on cassette anyway, because I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, but looking at the quick list, Mad World was 2003. Do They Know It's Christmas was Band Aid 20.
Yeah, see, that was then, that my last year was Mad World then.
Yeah. Then, like, then you have the That's My Goal by...
Oh,
go on, testing you.
One of the X Factor bellends. Was it? I never watched the X Factor, so I'm at a disadvantage.
I always get it mixed up with the cricketer. I think it's got the same name.
Ian Botham.
Ian Botham won the X Factor. Shane Ward, A Moment Like This in 1906 by Leona Lewis. When You Believe by Leon Jackson. Alexandra Burke was 08. X Factor winners, Killing in the Name Of.
Yes. That's the only decent one recently, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. Matt Cardle in 2010. The Military Warriors was 2011. I didn't realise that was that. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother by the Justice Collective. I have no memory of
that. It's loads of charity singles, isn't it, now?
Yeah. Sam Bailey by Skyscraper. I'm assuming that's an X Factor winner. Ben Haynow, 2014. I've got no idea who that is.
I only know who that one was because I had to play. I don't know. Which song was it?
Something I Need.
Yes, that's the song that I had to play at my cousin's wedding. So I've heard that one because I had to learn how to play it and sing it.
Yeah. 2015, Bridge Over You by the Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Choir. Rockabye by Clean Bandit was 16. 17, Perfect by Ed Sheeran. And We Built the City by Lad Baby, that was it. But
right, who I had only ever heard the name of today, because apparently he's up for another one this year.
Oh, okay.
So fair enough.
Okay, again, that was, again...
Few of them are proper Christmas songs.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got a massive, massive affinity for parody songs, so We Built This City on Sausage Rolls is kind of my wheelhouse.
Fair enough.
And it's for charity as well, because it was putting money towards food banks, I think, as well. And I've got no issue with that. The issue I've got is that I'm pretty sure for, like, two decades I was singing Sausage Rolls of that song. So, but, yeah, so there's quite an interesting mix of songs that make for Christmas songs. So,
All the best ones, or most of the best ones, tended to not get to number one.
Yeah.
They're ones that were, you know, just missed out, or didn't get even close.
Yeah. So there's a couple of... I've got a quick list to quickly go through some of them that I might just pick out. Some songs I didn't realise were older than that. So Rocking Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee was 1958, that peaked at number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the charts only started in the 50s, so that would have been, I think it might have been 55 that the charts started.
So this is one that didn't reach number one. War Is Over by John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
Yes, it was kept off number one by something ridiculous, but I can't remember what.
It doesn't mention it on the notes that I've got. Then this song I'm about to mention... peaked at number 14 on the Billboard Hot Adult Contemporary Tracks chart in December 2010. But I don't think he got to number one, which was Wizard.
Yeah, that's American, though. I think it got higher over here in the 70s. I think it was probably... It must have been top 10 in the 70s, at least. But I don't know. I'll have to dig out the episode of Chart Music podcast that's it's on at some point.
Yeah. A song that I really like, which as a Christmas song, which I think should have been a lot more popular, is A Spider-Man Came Travelling by Chris de Burgh. I love that song.
It's all right, yeah.
Yeah,
Used to be on my mum's Christmas compilation CD thing that she used to play all the time.
Yeah, Christmas Wrapping is one I love as well.
I can dig that. One that I really like that most people absolutely hate, including both of my Weedig Music co-hosts, absolutely with massive amounts of vitriol, utterly hate it. Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. I really like the
I don't hate it, but there's. But I saw a tweet which is like recently, which said that basically the song is about like a teenager being interrupted doing a pagan.
It's witchcraft that was interrupted.
Yeah, like the doors open. Simply having one.
The moon is here. The time is right.
There's Last Christmas was one that was stopped at number two.
Yes,
I can't remember who stopped it from being number one, but Last Christmas and pretty much like
Whamageddon.
Yes, which last year I managed to get to. I completed the Whamageddon last year. I got
Is it Christmas that you've got to get to, or is it the end of December?
It's the end of 24th, Christmas Eve.
Right, Christmas Eve. Yeah,
I got to it, but this year, 7th of December, bloody curries.
3rd of December for me, also curries.
This is another one that I didn't realise was at number two. All on for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Neville Christmas Number One.
Which I used to hate that song until I decided to learn how to play it, and now I actually quite like it.
I think it's
do a lot of cover gigs, and round about, I on the 1st of December then have to learn like 10 songs, relearn them each year, because I don't play them the rest of the year, and that's one of them that I actually really enjoy playing.
It's one of those songs that... It's one of the signalers that you start to hear that, and then you know, oh crap, December's coming.
Yeah.
But by the end of December, you're like on the verge of like about to commit violence when you hear it. Yeah. So So at the start of the month, it's quite okay. It's an alright song. By the time you hear it for like the millionth time, I'm like, go away.
I managed to avoid a lot of that stuff because these days I've got my headphones on pretty much anywhere where I'm not at work or at home, and. When Curry's got me with Wham, it was because that's when I got to the counter and I had to talk to somebody, so I took my headphones off, and there it was. But yeah, thanks. Damn you, Ridgely.
And then there's I've got a couple of really, really unknown or long-forgotten Christmas gimmicky songs. For example, I still, to this day, have in my head Craig Phillips At This Time of Year. Now, if you don't know who Craig Phillips is...
Wasn't he Big Brother?
He was the first winner of Big Brother.
Yes.
Yeah, and he had this song released in, like, 2000 called At This Time of Year. And I still have that. And that song, somehow, it's crap, but it's still in my head. And I don't know why. And talking about Craig Phillips, he had a regular part of a show called Bow Selector. I always got a soft spot for Proper Crimbo by Bow Selector. Comedian Lee Francis, before he just started getting really annoying as... Keith Lemon.
When he was Avid Merrion.
Yes.
Who I once saw in full costume with, I think he'd got his, it was his Craig David mask on, doing a signing session at Music Junction in Birmingham, and there were nobody there. There was nobody there that had turned up at all to get things signed. I think it was the Series 3 DVD release. I think everybody had stopped watching it by that point.
Anyway, so... we'll get to the main event and we'll go through the playlist that Colin sent to me. I've got to say that I actually had no recollection or history of any of these.
Excellent.
So, yeah. And actually, after a couple of times I listened to him, I was in Asda a couple of weeks ago and one of them started playing. I'm like,
oh, brilliant.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ooh, I'm interested to see which one that is.
Yeah, I'll get to it. And I was like, oh, bloody hell. Anyway, so... We'll go through and we'll have a brief conversation about them, about why Connor's picked these. So, first off, is Just Like Christmas by Low.
Yeah. Which is ace. I'm going to say that about all of them. They're all ace. That's why I put them on there. Low are brilliant. I really like Low. I believe they're Mormons. Oh, okay. And I don't know if Mormons celebrate Christmas because I'm ignorant. and I meant to look it up, but I didn't. So they might do. If they do, that makes more sense.
Yeah, because I liked it.
Are you familiar with any of their other stuff? They're kind of... It's sort of sometimes a genre that's called slowcore. It's kind of indie type.
To me, this song at least anyway, it was very shoegazy and I quite like.
Yeah, there's definitely full on sort of shoegaze elements in there, definitely. Yeah. But then it's also got loads of elements of like sort of Phil Spector's Christmas Gift for You type stuff in the drum sound on there and that kind of thing. And it's, I first heard it on, I worked out earlier, it was actually the first Low song I ever heard, which I didn't think it was, but I was looking up where I first heard it, which was the XFM It's a Cool, Cool Christmas compilation that came out in 2000, Christmas 2000, when I was working at Virgin Megastore in Tamworth. And we had that CD on loads, and this was my second favourite track off that CD. My favourite track is also on this playlist. But yeah, basically, we used to put that on loads, and then I thought that I'd first heard Low at a record shop in... There was a record shop in Hinckley that was in somebody's front room. It was really, really weird, and I only ever managed to find it once. It was in this little suburban street somewhere, just a few roads down from where I went to college in Hinckley, and I went in there, and he was listening to Things We Lost in the Fire by Low, which came out the year after, 2001. So it can't have been before that, because it was definitely Christmas 2000 that I would have heard, just like Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. But yeah, no, I say I really like, and it's made me want to hear a bit more about Low, from Low anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's got like, it's very much kind of like, well, it's not even a happy sad song, it's just like a sad song that just like...
It gets a bit more optimistic later on.
Yeah.
When she stops saying it wasn't like Christmas at all and then says it was just like Christmas.
Yeah.
Repeated 400 times towards the end of the song.
Yeah. The song, I think, covers pretty much like a really depressing drive.
It was there on tour, basically, I think.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's as quite a lot of the fact that you've gone, instead of going in with a bang, you've gone with the slowcore first. And yeah. So the second one is Everything's Going to Be Cool This Christmas.
By Eels.
Yes.
Which is also a track that was on the XFM Cool Cool Christmas CD, which mm-hmm. is where I first... I was already a fan of Eels, because I've loved Eels since their first album in 97. This was originally a B-side to one of the songs, I think it was Cancer for the Cure, which is off Electroshock Blues, their second album. And it's brilliant, because it's got a bit, just before the guitar solo-y instrumentally bit, it says, Baby Jesus, Born to Rock, which you can't argue with that.
Yeah, so this is... So once you've gone depressed, you then can...
This is kind of to cheer people up again.
No, I quite like this. I did quite like this one as well. I mean, it wasn't my favourite.
Okay.
A lot. There's some others I really quite liked. I did make up this one again. I mean, Eels are a band that I keep thinking are older than I expect them to be, and I keep getting them mixed up with other bands.
Okay. Well, Eels, the main guy, had a couple of solo albums first. So he started out in the late 80s, I think, and he wasn't very prolific for a few years. Put out two or three albums, first of all, then formed Eels. Eels' first album was 97, I believe. And mm-hmm. then he's been pretty much constantly, he's pretty prolific.
Yeah,
and occasionally released, like, you know, three albums in a year.
Yeah, because I always, the name I always end up lumping with the kind of like sudden indie surge of the early noughties.
Predates that.
Yeah, when you had like the Killers and Franz Ferdinand and like the Arctic Monkeys. not a fan of the Arctic Monkeys, I'll get there like now, I can't stand them. So anyone wants to pick them, it's going to be a very interesting episode.
right, that's my next note. I'm not... I'd have to do just a single by Arctic Monkeys because the B-side to I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor was brilliant. But anyway.
was it Silence?
No, it was Bigger Girls and Bigger Boys and Stolen Sweethearts.
I don't understand how it could be good then. but I think that was an eight. So I must be getting confused with someone else then. But Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight by the Ramones.
Yes.
Yeah, which is the one I heard in Asda.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
We need more Ramones in Asda, yes. Definitely.
Yeah, so this is, again, Ramones are a band are old. Actually, I think they might be younger than that, because they were 80s, weren't they?
No, 70s. Well, they started out in the 70s. This track was 80s. This was from Brain Drain, which was 1989. It's the same album with Pet Sematary on. But no, their first album was 76, I think. They were pre-punk, so the Ramones influenced the Clash and the Sex Pistols and all that. Like there was a famous Ramones gig at London Roundhouse that a load of the punk bands went to see, and it inspired them before.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard or listened to a podcast called Bizarre Albums.
Yes.
Yeah, they did an episode on, I think, Dee Ramone did a rap album.
Yeah, Dee Ramone's hip-hop album, which is amazing.
And I remember, if you've not listened to Tony Thaxton, who I think's from Motion City soundtrack.
Oh, right, okay.
I think so, or at least he's associated with them. He might be the drummer.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. Or at least I think he's a member of them.
Yeah,
he pretty much mentioned that gig. Apparently, there was about three members of three influential bands that were.
I think they snuck in through the stage door through the back door to get in for free.
Yeah,
basically.
I can't remember top of my head who they were, but it's one of those kind of like pop punk songs which kind of like. Sounds depressing, but it's a lot of fun. I found it to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. The Ramones were essentially a pop band. That's one that my friend Liz, who got me into Bright Eyes by putting Bright Eyes on a mixtape that I did in my episode nearly a year ago. This was on another mixtape that she made for me because we just used to send each other mixtapes back and forward. I've loved it ever since. The band were not getting on well at the time when they recorded it, so it's quite possible that he's singing "I Don't Want to Fight Tonight" to the rest of the band rather than a girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, family weren't they? Were they family?
No,
or just had the same.
They
just had the same.
Changed
name.
All their surnames to Ramon.
Ah, fair enough.
And called fair themselves enough. The Brothers.
Yeah, next up is one of the more interesting. which is Christmas at the Zoo by the Flaming Lips.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know whether it's actually supposed to be kind of a metaphor or just about breaking animals from a zoo.
No, it absolutely is about, there wasn't any snow on Christmas Eve, so here's what we should do. We'll go and release the animals from inside the zoo, or words to that effect.
But then they decided to leave.
Yes.
I'm sure there's some kind of like metaphor or some underlying story.
I don't think Flaming Lips generally don't deal in metaphors very much.
Okay.
They're just generally dealing absurdity. And they released, there's a live DVD that they put out years later called UFOs at the Zoo, where they actually played in the Oklahoma City Zoo. And it's got loads of bits at the start where they're interviewing all the crowd. Mm-hmm. And there's a rumour going round that they were going to release all of the animals. Unfortunately, they didn't, because that would have been hilarious.
Again, it's kind of like almost not exactly comical, but like...
Yeah.
Or at least it's not... It's kind of like an absurdist humour song, but then in a quite of kind of like... Sad, not a sad way, but like in a...
That's just Wayne Coyne's voice.
Yeah. I mean, like, the only other Flaming Lips song that I'm aware of is the very, very upbeat, very, very inspirational song called Do You Realise? That's the only Flaming Lips song I know.
Ah.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting, like, ooh, okay.
They deal with a lot of big topics. This particular song, not so much. This is a little bit more whimsical than... Then do you realise that everyone you know someday will die?
So I think it's
also one that's not necessarily. It was just a normal track on the album. They didn't put it out as a Christmas song.
It's just like they had.
It's just Christmas mentioned in it, and it's got sleigh bells on it and Christmassy sounding melodies in there.
Yeah, so pretty much it, they just thought they'd add sleigh bells onto it.
Yeah. It was released as a single, but I'm not sure if it was a Christmas single, because I first heard this one on... I hadn't bought Clouds Taste Metallic, which is the album it's on. I bought a DVD with all of their music videos on it, and that was on there. And the music video is ace.
Mm-hmm. The next one is from a band that I keep meaning to try and dig into, because every time I kind of... they get brought up on like other podcasts or history stuff, they seem to be like completely different genre to what I've been used to them. And this is
because you know they're really big hits.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And the lead singer's solo stuff.
Yes.
And I then get confused with how old she is, because like she apparently just seems to live forever. I'm talking about, the song is "Oi to the World" by No Doubt.
Yes.
Now No Doubt, who I only seem to know from when they did.
Don't Speak and Hella Good.
Yeah, well, it was Don't Speak, then Just a Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of any...
Just a Girl's fairly representative of their sound. I mean, Tragic Kingdom, the album that Don't Speak and Just a Girl were both on...
Were the same album?
It's a it's a really diverse album. There's a disco track on there. It's all over the place. I was big into it in 97. I used to have a No Doubt t-shirt and everything. That's how cool I was. But this track was the same year as that. This was 97. It was on a compilation called A Very Special Christmas 3, which I think was to raise money for the Special Olympics, I think. And it's actually a cover. It's a cover of a song by the Vandals, which the Vandals version is very, 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 very similar. But the No Doubt one is better produced, and I prefer Gwen Stefani's vocals. Mm-hmm. It's a song that I remember. I used to get played around about Christmas at XL's, the rock club that used to be at Five Ways. Don't look for it; it's not there anymore because it's been knocked down years ago, and there's a hotel in place which I abseiled down and was terrifying.
Well, I think. It's pretty much a play on the Joy to the World.
Exactly. Stuff.
And like
yeah.
the demon song, the chorus has it in that same cadence in the end, but with like a lot more punk aspect to it.
Oi to the punks, oi to the skins, oi to the world, and everybody wins.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty
good. It's about unity.
Yeah. And also like referencing Indiana Jones.
Yes.
But no, that was a good one. The next one is, again, I think the story behind it is a lot more interesting, I think quite interesting, which is Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. And it's the kind of late 80s.
Yeah, it was 87.
Yeah, so this was before everyone started to realise that Rakim was onto something with his internal rhyming. So it is it's still very much your basic kind of
Run DMC are very straight down the line, aren't they?
Yeah.
I love it, but it's not not as technical as some sort of later rap, so it is very, very of its time.
Yeah, but it's but not as technical for my taste, but if I understand, I don't know if you read into the history of...
I know bits of it. They got asked to do it for it was the first edition of Very Special Christmas. Same as the No Doubt one, but that was the third. They got asked to record a Christmas song and then refused. And then there was something that happened that I can't remember what it was that made them change their mind. But that worked, didn't it? I did look that up earlier. I know it samples Backdoor Santa, the old soul track.
He also have samples Frosty the Snowman, Jingle Bells, and Joy to the World.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe that's the common theme. Maybe Joy to the World is in all of these songs.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so...
apart from the next one, which is altogether more cynical.
Yeah. The next one is one of my favourites from this.
Yeah.
It's The King, Father Christmas by The Kinks.
Yes.
If I get it, was basically a bunch of kids mugging Santa.
Essentially, yeah. It's basically a song about class warfare.
Yeah.
It's the poor kids saying, Father Christmas, give us some money. You know, we need money more than toys. Give all the toys to the little rich boys.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit about there. He's asked him to get a job for his dad because he's got loads of mouths to feed, or if not, get us a machine gun so I can scare all the kids in the street.
Yeah, there's that line was like, ooh, okay. But yeah, okay, this was the one that's like a lot more, has a lot more depth into, well, say a lot more depth into it in terms of not just being Christmas song, and then it has something to say and wraps Christmas around it. So it's kind of like almost critical about
the
commercialisation of Christmas. And when was this released?
This was 1978, so it was quite late for the Kinks.
Yeah. So it's probably still early from the massive commercial boom of Christmas.
I would say the whole 1970s, so 73 onwards is when you started getting all the massive glam rock Christmas anthems like Slade and Wizard and Mud and all that lot. So the 70s was peak Christmas single. This obviously was never as successful because you'd know it more if it was. The Kinks at that point were past their prime. They were I think round about the time that this single was released, they were touring supporting Hall & Oates in America.
Okay.
So they were a support band rather than a big headline act, which they would have been 10 years previously. But they kind of embraced the, it's got a bit of punk rock in there, which they obviously influenced punk a fair bit with, You Really Got Me and stuff like that was a big influence on punk. And then I think they kind of took that influence back a little bit on there, because it's definitely got some punk ideas, definitely, that song.
Yeah, and it's like, and it was like a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, like, the first thing that jumped out was Dan Gibbon Brother of Steve Austin outfit, which, I mean, hang on, no, it's the $6 million man rather than
the wrestler from, at that point, the future.
Yes. This next one, I couldn't find the lyrics to, and not much about the actual artist, which is, pretty much Googling it gave me a character from Breakfast and Tiffany's.
Right.
This is Christmas Tree on Fire by Holly Golightly.
Yes. So she's most well known for, she is a guest vocalist on It's True That We Love One Another by the White Stripes, which is the last track, I think, on Elephant, which was that kind of catapulted her into the NME for a little bit in the early 2000s. She was part of the scene with... So in London, around the sort of early 2000s, there's a guy called Billy Childish, who's a sort of bluesy punk musician bloke with a massive moustache. He ran a studio called Toe Rag Studios, which is where the White Stripes recorded Elephant, which is how she got involved with them. But she was sort of part of that scene. It was kind of a very retro, everything has to be analog kind of country blues punk sort of stuff. And Holly Golightly, she was Billy Childish was in a punk band called The Headcoats, and she formed an offshoot of that, which was an all-female version called The Headcoatees. This one my mate Ryan introduced me to, because he's a massive fan of Holly Golightly. I saw her at Truck Festival in 2007, so that was the year after this single came out, but I heard this after that. It's basically a song about the Christmas tree's on fire and it's burning down the house and trying to put the fire out, but then it ends with her burning to death. But it's still quite cheerful and whimsical.
A lot of cheerful and stuff.
It's the most cheerful song about burning to death at Christmas that I've ever
heard. Yeah, the only issue I had was that I ended up... So I've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's, because the character is Holly Golightly's name of the character now.
That's obviously not her real name.
And I ended up watching clips from the film, and then I ended up getting very distracted quite easily, even when I'm trying to research these episodes. And I ended up watching for the first time in, must be a decade, Deep Blue Something's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I thought Deep Blue Something might appear next, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I remember the film.
Yeah. There's a great College Humour, the College Humour parodies. They had, like, I think about 5 years ago, they had a series of things called Rejected Parodies as part of like an all-nighter with release stuff. And like one of them was like a song on, and I said, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's? You said, do you mean the book or the film? And I said, no, this song I'm singing. And well, then that's one thing that's confused. And he basically stopped saying, yeah, the joke's finished. But whenever that's brought up, but that version of the song is now on the thing. Now, the really interesting one is next.
Excellent.
Yeah, which is Hey America by James Brown.
Yes.
Which, from what I've gathered, and the only additional information on the Wikipedia entry for this song, said that Spin Magazine characterised the song as a churning, overwrought orchestral groove over which JB apparently improvises a totally incoherent rant about Christmas, peace protesters, God, partying, and tellingly wine. And once you've heard that, and you just go through it, listen to it again, it does sound improvised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah.
I've got this on an album called James Brown's Funky Christmas, which there are two different versions of the album cover, both of which are hilarious because they're both a really bad cutout of James Brown's head with a Santa hat photoshopped on in front of a Christmas background. And it doesn't matter which version you find because they're both fucking brilliant. The album is great. It's actually a compilation of the best tracks from his three Christmas albums because Hey America was the title track of his third Christmas album, which was actually his 30th studio album, which was released in 1970, which is ridiculous because in about a decade he released 30 albums. That's insane. But yeah, this particular album also has Santa Claus Is Definitely Here to Stay, Go Power at Christmas Time, which is amazing funk track, and I'm Your Christmas Friend, Don't Be Hungry, which is there's also on James Brown Funky Christmas, because it's off one of the other CDs, is an amazing track called Santa Claus Go Straight to the Ghetto, which is brilliant. When you said about Christmas albums, I nearly just went with James Brown Funky Christmas, but there were other songs that I wanted to get in as well.
Yeah.
That I love more than some of the other tracks on there. But this is, a lot of it is kind of laid back soul sort of stuff. You know, it's quite mellow. A lot of his Christmas stuff is. But this is one of the funk tracks, and it's it's for me, it's up there with like Superbad. I'm a big James Brown fan. He's awesome. Yeah. You'll know the songs that sampled them probably more than Funky Drummer Parts 1 and 2. You'll definitely know the drum beat on that because it's the second most sampled drum break after the Amen break.
Was You Can't Touch This sampled James Brown, or was that?
No, that's
Super Freak
is Rick James.
Yes.
So it's got James in there.
That's close. Yeah. I recommend people to listen to it because it is just pretty much like, it is just like someone just like improvising and riffing on a piano. Because there's no lyrical cohesion to it. He's just going like,
it's hey like, America, it's Christmas time.
Yeah. Hey, wine, hey.
There's a lot of haze in there.
Yeah. Yeah, but he starts talking about like protesting and
it's about the people getting together.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit in there where he says something about the black people, the white people, the green people, the people I've never seen people.
Yeah. It's great.
It's amazing. I love James Brown. We need more funk.
Yeah. And last but by all now on by
not in last, any way least. Yeah.
Last but no means least, the one that's not on Spotify.
Tragically.
Yeah.
It was on there last year. Fountains of Wayne with I Want an Alien for Christmas, which is my absolute favourite Christmas song ever.
Mm.
So you'll have to find it on YouTube, or you could put the YouTube link in the show notes.
Yep, I'll do that. But why is it the best Christmas song ever?
Because it's brilliant. It's a sort of power pop, 2 minute 20 second burst of energy about wanting an alien for Christmas. It's got brilliant lyrics. It's one of those songs that not enough people know, but the people that do know it tend to absolutely love it. And I cover it every year when I do gigs in December. And it's brilliant because you'll get most of the room going, I don't know this one. And then you'll get people running from outside the pub that have just heard it going, that's Fountains of Wayne. And I've had it loads of times where people just running in going, yeah, just like one solitary person that absolutely loves it. And I found out I was looking for some information about it the other day because I've always just been totally content to just love the song. But it was a standalone single. So it was that song with Man in the Santa Suit on the B-side, which is also really good. I was trying to do a bit of research about it, looking around on the internet and found in the most unlikely of places an interview with Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne on the Groupon website, which I didn't even know they had interviews on there. But yeah, turns out it was originally, because Adam Schlesinger, I can't even say his name. The dude from Fountains of Wayne, he's done a lot of songwriting for various films and other bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, the biggest one that I know of, he was very much linked and did he's like musical director for the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend TV series.
Right, okay. Yeah, and he also did the title song for That Thing You Do, which was about 98-ish that came out, I think.
Yeah. I just need to point out, if you've never watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, look past the title, get through the first couple of episodes,
right,
and then you'll delve into something that becomes like one of the most meta self-aware, hilarious.
That sounds like the kind of thing I would dig. I would check it out.
And then goes into something, and then amazingly then starts going into stuff about mental health. It's ridiculously brilliant. Well, to be fair, I remember I started watching it, went through the first half, like when it first came out, so I was like, got through half of the first episode and thought, yeah, better not, this is not for me. Sort of a couple of clips from later on, I thought, okay, this is actually quite funny. And then when I watched the first episode ends up with like an R&B called The Sexy Getting Ready Song, where Rachel Bloom is kind of like talking about getting ready and basically like waxing and everything. And then a rapper comes in going, starts doing the stereotypical, yo, I'm going to be freaky and everything, turns around, stops and goes, yo, what's happening here? This is what you have to do to get ready. That's some sort of patriarchal bullshit right here. I gotta go apologise to all some bitches, man. And then walks off. And then the very end, like, tag scene, he's pretty much this rapper earlier going, yo, I'm so sorry for objectifying you. I don't realise. And I'm like, yeah, this TV show is mine. There's a lot of time where there's a lot of rock music, and you can hear, I mean, my knowledge of Fountains of Wayne isn't, it's probably this song.
They had one hit 6 years later with Stacey's Mum.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's a representation of their sound or not, but
it's sort of power pop, indie rock guitar stuff.
Yeah, but knowing that guy, it makes a lot of sense. And considering hearing this, there's a lot of good sense of humour that carries across.
Yeah,
from what I've seen in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And please, if you've not watched it, it is brilliant.
I will check it out.
It is great.
But yeah,
there's a song. When you got one song called "I Gave You a UTI," which is
fair enough.
Yeah. So.
But in this Groupon interview, weirdly, it turns out that this song was originally written for Hanson, but they rejected it, and I'm glad they did because, I mean, I'd have maybe liked it if Hanson did it, but I like it a lot more with Fountains of Wayne, and it's brilliant. Even the single cover's brilliant.
Yeah, it's that kind of like power pop punk kind of sense of humour side of it.
And it works really well for, it's one of those Christmas songs that kids absolutely love as well, which I think is probably important with a Christmas song.
Yeah, I mean, it's inoffensive, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's, who wouldn't want an alien for Christmas? They're awesome. I'd rather not have a xenomorph because, you know, he would kill me and everyone I know, but a little green guy about 3 feet high with 17 eyes who knows how to fly, you can't argue with that shit. It's all good. I like Christmas, and Fountains of Wayne is a big part of it.
Yeah,
they and Skeletor are the true meaning of Christmas.
Of course.
Yes.
And that brings us to the end of the playlist.
It does,
and also the end of my notes and any sort of semblance structure. So
we have a structure?
Apparently.
Fair enough.
Not for this episode, so I'll just put my notes on the floor. So this is probably usually a bit now where we talk about either the reception of the album, but it's not an album.
It's the most loved playlist of all time. It's the greatest playlist ever made, apart from other ones that I've made.
Yes. and then there'd be the very important question of what song goes onto the playlist. But considering this is slightly different, and it's his playlist on its own.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't be able to pick one out of...
No, it's its own thing. Although, actually, it'd be Fountains of Wayne, even though that's not on Spotify, so that wouldn't work.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't have time to pretty much go through a couple ones I was going to mention, but I will pretty mention there's a Christmas song, one of my favourite Christmas songs. As I said, it was Christmas Wrapping, but there's a great version of it by Summer Camp, which I adore. There's a song called Hunts and Friends called The Magic of Christmas, which I think I played to you at the start, which is kind of like, I think Jen Long kind of helped organise it with, can't remember the top of my head, but I do know there's like, I think it was like 2009, you've got Rebecca from Slow Club, Sparky Deathcap before he joined Los Campesinos, Ollie from Los Campesinos was in it at some point, Copy Ha Ho.
It's a kind of super group of...
kind of like the...
Of indie... low-level sort of British indie stuff.
Yeah, pretty much my level of indie from that time.
Yes,
yeah. Great. Yeah. With that, Colin, thank you ever so much for being Santa Claus and bringing me a playlist down the metaphorical tree that is the internet.
Any time, brother.
No, it's fine.
Merry Christmas and all that.
Merry Christmas.
Indeed. Ho, ho,
yes.
Ho.
Yes, and I hope tomorrow that you wake up and you find that Santa Claus has unloaded his sack all over your living room.
He'd better fucking clear that up. I hope he's brought me records. Records are awesome.
Yeah, true. Same. Yeah. So all that's left to say is thank you for people for listening, and this is the final episode of the actual podcast this year. Thank you everyone for listening for this year. I'm probably going to repeat all this in the special five bonus episodes you're going to get. In the five episodes you're going to get, because there will be five more episodes, but they're going to be quite small, where I talk about my favourite albums of the year. Each episode is dedicated to one album, and it'll be daily from the 27th onwards to the end of the year. So, yeah, look forward for them. Colin, if people want to find you and locate you in all your endeavours on the internet, where can they find you?
Well, I've got two podcasts because I'm a greedy bastard. I have Free With This Month's Issue and We Dig Music. And you can find the all of the episodes on those are on WeDigPodcasts.com. You can find Free With This Month's Issue on Twitter at This Month's Issue. You can find WeDig Music on Twitter at WeDig Music PCast. My just normal Twitter myself is at Mogwai Fear Satan. I live in Birmingham. Oh. But I'm not going to tell you more specific than that. You all might be stalkers. See you next year.
Yeah. See you next year.
Merry Trimble.
Yes. And you'll be definitely back at some point next year.
I've got a short list of albums I need to decide on.
Yeah. I think I said before that your co-host will at some point appear on this as well.
Yes. I know which album Ian wants to do. I don't know for definite which one Tracy wants to do, but I've got a vague idea.
Okay. So, and with that, all I'd like to say is...
And you're going to be on Free With This Month's Issue as well.
Yes, I will at some point, yes. With that all done, all I have to say is Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's hope that Santa's picked some really good discs for you.
Indeed, yes. Merry Crimble. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Pick a Disc, and I've been your host, Matthew Laver. Our theme music is Pump by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Pick a Disc is hosted by the We Made This podcast network, and you can find them on www.spreaker.com/user/WeMadeThis. You can find the Pick a Disc show site on www.spreaker.com/show/pickadisc. You can find us on all the usual social media type places like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter under Pick a Disc. You can also email us on pickadisc@gmail.com. Until next time, happy listening to all those discs that you are picking. Goodbye.